So welcome to Pandora's Box, a Linklaters podcast about new operational resilience rules in the EU. I'm Jimmy Piggott. I'm an associate in Linklaters FRG practice in London. And I'm joined today by two colleagues from our Amsterdam office. So Baz Jenin and Leonard van der Ander. Welcome both. In our first episode of Pandora's Box, we provided a helicopter view of the DORA legislation and the various rules it introduces for financial firms and ICT service providers. And we're now going to drill down into some key aspects of those rules. So today we're going to focus on record keeping and specifically the register of information. So there are lots of documents that firms need to create and keep up to date to comply with DORA. But there's one record keeping requirement that stands out from the rest, and that's the register of information. Baz, I'll start with you. So this register isn't quite as innocuous as it sounds. Could you tell us about this register and what firms need to do?
Sure. Thanks, Jimmy. This DORA register describes all the contracts the firm has with its ICT service providers. Getting the contents of this register right is really important because it plays a fundamental role in your ICT risk management framework. At face value, the register sounds relatively simple. You need to maintain and update a register of information about the contractual arrangements you have in place for the use of ICT services by ICT third-party service providers. But of course, there are several complexities that attach to this new requirement. Firstly, the DORA register needs to be maintained at entity, sub-consolidated, and consolidated levels. Secondly, the register must distinguish between ICT services that support a firm's critical or important functions and those that do not. Finally, the content of the register is set for you by several interconnected templates. This prescribes a lot of detail for you to record on the register.
Thanks, Baz. So let's try and unpack some of those points you've made there. So firstly, you mentioned that the register needs to be maintained at different consolidation levels. Obviously, firms will have different ideas of what they mean by consolidation, whether that's under the accounting directive or via sort of sector-specific legislation. So what exactly do we mean by different consolidation levels?
Well, for groups, this in practice means that you won't have one DORA register, but several. You'll need a register recording relevant data for every single EU financial entity which is in scope of the rules. You also need a register that covers your consolidated group. That will involve bringing together the DORA registers for the various subsidiaries that sit under your parent company. And then potentially you'll have sub-consolidation to consider as well, which is another way to group up different parts of your business across legal entities.
Thanks, Baz. So we've advised a number of clients on this already about the approach that they should be taking when complying with this rule. So, for example, whether to apply accounting standards for consolidated groups or indeed even prudential standards. And there is various sort of bits of detail in the level two text that sort of provide clues in that regard. So depending on which you use, you could find different entities fall into scope of your DORA register. Leonard, I'll bring in you now to cover the second point of complexity, which is around this concept of critical or important functions. So what's the context for this?
Yeah, so DORA effectively divides ICT services into two types, those that firms use to support their critical or important functions and those that do not. The first step is to work out which are your critical or important functions. Very broadly speaking, this relates to functions that, if disrupted, would materially impact the financial entity. It might be an impact on its financial performance, the continuity of its services, or its ability to continue complying with financial regulation. DORA then applies generally to all the ICT services you use, but attaches additional obligations where those services are used to support these critical or important functions. This distinction appears in the DORA register too. You need to document which ICT contracts support critical or important functions. This is important because there's a specific rule telling you to update your regulator whenever you plan to change one of these contracts, or when you choose to add a new contract to the list.
And just jumping in here, so on the subject of what information goes into the register, Baz mentioned this idea of templates. Could you provide a bit more detail about these templates?
Sure. let's be clear about why you have this register in the first place. You're required to report data about your DORA register to your regulator at least once a year. You also need to make the full register available to them on request. Regulators across the EU will then collate this information and use it to inform decisions about which ICT providers will be designated as critical and so be brought under the scope of supervision. This obviously means that it's important that they receive consistent data from financial entities, and so we have level 2 technical standards setting the details about what firms need to include in their registers. These are the templates which have been published in draft by the European supervisory authorities. There are 15 templates in total, although some of them may be relatively light touch depending on the complexity of your firm's operations or its internal structure.
In addition to that, one important part of the DORA register I should also flag is the content of the ICT service supply chain. This means that you not only have to capture information about your direct ICT service provider, but also information about their subcontractor and any other subcontractors further down the supply chain. The aim is to have in one place information about the full ICT services supply chain, although, of course, these chains can be incredibly long and complex.
That's right. And I think this issue of subcontracting is very much a live issue at the moment. We're waiting on the publication of a separate set of technical standards on this topic, and that will be finalized at some point in the summer, we hope, in obviously good time before DORA starting in earnest next January. So speaking of finalizing rules, Leonard, you mentioned that the technical standards on the Register of Information have been published in draft form. What is their current status?
They have been finalized by the ESAs, but as we record this in April 2024, they have not yet been adopted by the Commission. We are not expecting significant policy change when this does happen, but it would give more confidence to firms implementing the rules if they had the final text of the legislation to work from.
That's right. And I think something else that might help firms is something quite recent, actually. So the European Supervisory Authorities, and that's what we mean by the ESAs. So these authorities are teaming up with national regulators to do what they're calling a dry run of DORA register reporting. And that will take place over the summer. So in this dry run exercise, firms can practice submitting their registers and receive support from the authorities to help them get their registers in the required format. So any firms that are interested in taking part in this dry run exercise would need to declare their interest by the 31st of May, obviously 2024, with the exercise, like I say, running over the summer. Baz, I'll come back to you. Any final thoughts on the DORA register that you wanted to add?
Well, meeting the requirements for the DORA register brings out many important questions on the DORA, which we've been advising clients on. Such questions could be, what is an ICT service? Or what contractual arrangements do I have for these services? And what are my critical or important functions? The register is just one of many documents you need to maintain on the DORA as part of your ICT risk management framework. You'll need to think about the governance and processes for keeping it up to date. Finally, there are other record keeping and reporting obligations to keep in mind too, especially in relation to ICT incidents.
A great segue there, Baz. So that's going to be the subject of our next podcast. So that seems like a good time to draw a line under this edition. Thank you again, Baz, Leonard, for joining today. Thank you very much for listening. And like I say, we'll be back with our next edition very soon.